podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 19th of March, 2024. My name's Patrick Smith, episode 468, if anybody's bothered. 468 so far. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and you also download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all of your normal podcast providers. If you're watching on YouTube and enjoy the show, like and subscribe, all that good stuff. This week's show, two wins over the Flames. It's about a month until the playoff weekend. The Giants start to ramp it up. We'll analyze those games as we always do. Mark Cooper's back on the ice and we have the captain join us with Fife and Dundee facing us this weekend. Tom Cullen of the Flyers will be joining us as well. Friend of the show, Dundee star supremo, Mark Lefebvre. We're going to look at the news. We're going to look at all that sort of normal stuff. If you're watching, you like to get involved, send us a message on YouTube, on Facebook. Some people even have direct access on, you know, Facebook and stuff and WhatsApp to me. Some people, the friends of mine, maybe they do it to you as well. But yeah, drop us a line. We'll keep you up to date. They don't, sis. They don't, not you.
The mates.
How you doing, sis? How are you, mate? How are you?
I've got my two mates here. It's only one to need, so I'm okay.
We just talk to each other directly, bud.
Absolutely.
You doing well?
How's your trip? I'm okay, mate. Yeah. Trip was nice, dead on. Well, it was crap, but it rained for 3 days, sunny for a day and a half, and then I had to fly home, so. But it was just good to get away and get a wee break. But I'm going to be really honest. I mean, I'm back last Tuesday into work, and it feels like about a month ago.
Does it? Well, that's what, mate, I'm back, only back 2 weeks from skiing. It feels like about a year ago. I'm dying to get back again.
Literally last Tuesday night, we had to go into Five Guys and did the Five Giants at Five Guys. And then Wednesday night, we had the season ticket event in W5, which was absolutely brilliant. It's amazing how many people actually come up and said about watching the podcast at the season ticket event and thought it was still away. So, yeah, it was really nice to hear, actually, in fairness.
Fantastic, fantastic. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
I haven't been on holiday like you boys. One away skiing, one away to Portugal. I've just been looking after the girls, having fun with them, you know, at hockey night with Lily. She's doing really well. She's the next best girl, you know. She's doing nets at the minute for hockey, so she's loving it, so.
That's good to say. She's enjoying it.
Yes, she's loving it. Absolutely loving it.
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic. Well, before we've got Mark Cooper coming to join us in just a second. But before we do that, David, give us a bit of an update on the situation with the Easter eggs.
Oh, yes. Listen, last week, thank you very much to all the viewers and listeners that chipped in. During the podcast, we raised £100, which the ABF TV guys between the four of us matched. That was £200. And Jeff Baum Sr. very generously then matched that, so we had around £400, and the fantastic Laura Small went and shopped for us, and all those eggs went to young Jasmine Parker, the Belfast Easter Bunny. There she is. She's just appeared in the comments section there saying thank you so much for all your donations. But that was brilliant to be able to support her. What she's doing is inspirational, as Jeff Baum Sr. said, and we look forward to supporting her again next year.
Absolutely. Well done to you, Jasmine. I think it's absolutely fantastic. Big thank you to everybody who donated during last week's show. And big thanks to Laura, as always, for digging in doing that. Go on, sis.
Laura asked me to pass a message on. Due to the fabulous Belfast Giants fans, we managed to count 799 Easter eggs that were collected over the weekend. But Laura, being Laura, has set another target of 1,000. So this weekend, thanks, at Saturday's game, we're going to try and make it 1,000. So if you can, please just, you know, some Easter eggs are £1, some are £2. Whatever you can get, let's try and get Jasmine to the magical figure of 5,000. I think she set her own target of 3. I seen her mum showed me a photograph of her living room the other night. It's unbelievable. Chocolate. Easter eggs everywhere.
Sounds like my dream, mate. Chocolate everywhere. Yeah.
Well, no comment. You know, I was hoping she was going to invite me around at one point, but no, that wasn't the case. But yeah, 799 Easter eggs, which is just absolutely incredible.
Remarkable. Davey?
I'll throw one down here for he's coming on in a wee minute. I'll donate 10 Easter eggs for every Mark Cooper point this weekend. put some pressure on him. I'll put some pressure to get down low and get in that blue paint. See what he has to say when he comes on.
This point of the show is normally reserved as a bit of a for Laura Small, the aforementioned. She's normally the only one who comes on straight off the bat, but when the captain calls her to come on early, who are we to turn him down? Captain's privilege. Please welcome back to your View from the Bridge, Mark Cooper. How are you doing, Coops?
Good, good. Thanks for letting me on right away. It was nice to watch the little intro there, and I like that pressure, Davey. It'll kick in the arse for me.
Back on the ice, mate. How did it feel?
It was good. Nice to play at home as well, and then just two pretty intense games, I'd say, physical, and wasn't sure how Guildford would be after that Challenge Cup final on Wednesday, but they came out physical and ready to play. I think they're in a bit of a skid, so those are two big games for them, but I think two good games to get my feet back into it and hopefully just get the rust out of me and then be ready to roll this weekend.
How difficult was it, you know, sitting on the sidelines for so long? How frustrating is it when you've got that injury? You want to have the influence in the game, but you just can't.
Yeah, it sucks. Like, especially, I've never broken a bone before. Like,
never?
I have, so you can't really speed that process. All the other injuries I've had, I've just been able to speed up the process by, however, just working harder or just doing rehab more, but a broken bone, I think, is a pretty strict timeline. So kind of just had to sit on the sideline and help my friend Simon Kitchen on the comms once in a while. but, you know, it sucks watching. But the guys, I think the guys did a lot of growing as a group while I was out. Kind of we're an up-and-down team, but I think we've kind of found our way a little bit now. And roles have started been able to establish, and keeper's been able to keep some lines together much longer than previously in the year. So I was kind of coming into a hot, confident group, which helped me as well.
So how does that going forward, Coops? You know, take away the negative of being out. Let's look at the positive of being back. How happy are you just to be back on the ice?
Yeah, I extremely excited. I started skating that week before Sheffield, and I felt good the first day I was on the ice, and I kind of wanted to play that weekend against Sheffield, but the doctors kind of said, give it one more week. It'll do you wonders in the long run. So we went for that, but it was so fun to be back playing. I was a little nervous just to see where my fitness was, and like guys are hitting their form right now too. And I've pretty much had 3 months off. So, but I felt all right. A little rusty on the puck, but just the adrenaline got me through it. And it was so fun getting two wins at home.
I'm pretty much a month or so by that. Is it 20th? What is it? This coming towards the 20th of March, 20th of April. So just about a month. So you must be fully charged up for this last month of it.
Yeah. And, I think all our eyes are on one prize right now too. So the focus isn't skewed with our group. It's all on that playoff prize and peaking at the right time. So I think it's exciting. And I think we're hitting some good form too. So I think it's a good time for our group. And I think it'd be a bad time to run into us as another team.
Coops, just to, obviously, again, there's only, you know, a handful of games left in the league. I think it's 7-8 games in the league. Yeah. You know, obviously, the next step up is Dundee on Saturday night. Dundee have given us some really tough games this year. They've managed to pick up a couple of wins as well. And you know, the last time that we played against Dundee, it was a very physical game. Obviously, three boys being put out with concussions alone. But with winning those two games the weekend against Guildford, it's important to try and get the momentum going into the playoffs again. You keep on talking about, you know, just getting on a roll and running down the stretch, but it is important. Next step up is Dundee.
Yeah, no, they I think they're a much better team than the standings kind of have them in. They have that Nas and Valentini, who are the last few times we played them, I've been watching, and Nas and Valentini are they make something happen every time they're on the ice. So they got some high threat players there, and they're fighting for their playoff lives. So I expect it to be a very tough game, and I think when Dundee comes to us, you always get their best. Get to play in a nice big arena, and then they're essentially playing do or die games as well. So I think it'll be a great game, and we'll be ready for it. Though I think our team doesn't underestimate Dundee whatsoever.
How was your son's birthday party yesterday?
It was good. A bunch of the guys showed up to Guinness's first birthday. It a little kickstart to St. Patrick's Day. It was a Sunday morning, so we went to the park, had some coffee, and I got the energy right after the double win this weekend. And Guinness had all his dog friends there, so he was tired all day after that.
You mentioned it there about the ramp up for the playoffs, and obviously, you know, look at the season we had last year. We know what it takes to go into there. We can't win this league, we can't win the cup now. That is the focus. So what is the sort of timeline now? Is it just sort of aiming to get better and better and better, or just keep the momentum going until we get to that point?
Yeah, I think we're still all standing watching and kind of see where we can fall in. But I think getting that home ice advantage or like the second or third place would be ideal. And I think it's a good goal to kind of just strive for Cardiff. But we play Cardiff twice and Sheffield twice. So we get some great measuring stick games heading into playoffs. And I think, like, results aside, we want to be just feeling really good about our game heading into playoffs, and then hopefully the results will take care of themselves if we're playing good hockey come playoff quarterfinal and finals weekend.
And then coming into this weekend, obviously home to Dundee and then a trip over to Fife. What's the atmosphere like in the room?
It's good. Today we had a little games day on the ice. We did Canada versus World. some questionable refereeing by our by George Iwata. some goals disallowed for Canada, but we ended up losing. Canada lost to Team World. No, it was a good day on the ice today. It was lots of fun, some good competition, bunch of broken sticks. So I'm sure Taff will be happy. Yeah. But no, it was a good day to get back after we had 2 days off after the weekend, so we got three good practices coming up, and it's been a good vibe in the room. Obviously losing McLeod was a tough one this weekend, but his energy he brings, but he'll hopefully get healthy soon and can be back playing with us.
Just as one comes back, we lose another one. It just seems to be an ongoing thing with us this season. It's tough, isn't it? One last thing, and it's something we always ask you when you come on here, and it's coming from Alan Brett. Still hitting those crossbars at the end of warm-ups, Coops, and how is this going against Sizz?
Sizz, I'm losing on the season, but he must have car trouble every time we're at Dundonald or something. He never shows up.
it's called having to go to work.
Your job's just a lot better than his. That's what it is.
I actually, towards Alan, I think I hit a crossbar this weekend, and I landed one on top of the net, which wasn't the intention, but it's kind of cool in warm up.
Doesn't count. Wasn't there.
That's what he was. He asked about warm up.
Listen, it's £3 from last year, and it's £2.
All right. Well,
Fiverr.
Solid five spot, man.
Yeah, but we still got 4 weeks left. We'll have We'll put it up to 10 pucks. Get you when we go again.
That's absolutely fine. That means I'll give me 4 ahead next week.
Listen, Coops, it was great to see you back on the ice. Good to see you again, and good luck for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Have a good show, and we'll hopefully see you soon.
See you, Coops.
Big thanks to Mark Cooper for coming on and joining us so early in the show. It's good to see him back, Davey.
Yes, I want to see his Easter egg celebration at the weekend. I hope he does cost me a few quid, because that's only good for us if he's in the points. But it's great to see him back on the ice, a leader on and off the ice, and just a guy who leads for his team. And so it's so good to see him back on the ice again.
And he said it himself, says, you know, the frustration of like being the leader, being the captain, and not being able to have the influence directly on the ice.
Yeah, look, I know he's been, how hard he's been working to get back. He's a fit lad off the ice, you know, whether he's mid-season, end of the season, during the summer, he's just a fit boy. And you know, I know he was working his tail off to try and get back as quick as possible. Look, it's coming a perfect time. As I say, you just mentioned it, Paddy. You get one guy fit, another one drops out. Obviously, we lost Charlie Curley there last week against Sheffield, and then Manny McLeod took a toe pick on Saturday night and went down as well. So, you know, he's not in the best of spot right now, but he's hoping he's going to be back before, you know, the end of the season as well. Greg Prince is getting closer. Good to see Vince Gendron back as well, but I'm sure we'll go on to talk about that.
Well, that's it, as I try to get my notes back up. Let's get cracking, because we've got Tom Coolen coming in about 10 minutes. So we'll crack on with the first game, both 3-1 games. But we'll start with the first game that took place on Friday night for the Belfast Giants. 3-1 win for the Giants with Kohei Sato, the above-average David Goodwin scoring 2 and 3, with Bradley Lalonde scoring the 1 for the Guildford Flames. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to try and get my notes back up because they've disappeared on me. Oh, here we go. Jackson Whistle, 40 shots on, 1 goal against. Taz Berman, 20 shots on, 3 goals against. Andy Dalton and Vitas Lukasevicius were your 2 referees. Davey, outshot at home, but ultimately the win.
Yeah, you could probably take these 2 games almost as a pair, rather than discuss one and go on to talk about the other, because they were very similar in everything that happened during the game. 2 good goaltending performance from the Belfast Giants, got ourselves in a bit of penalty trouble through games, killed penalties when we needed to, got goals when we needed to, some nice assists. I just thought that we had a little bit more than them. They maybe, especially on the first night of the doubleheader Friday night, wasn't it? A little bit more jump than them. And ultimately, you know, here's even the first one that's really, really early in the game with a breakaway. You don't want to be giving them breakaways. And that was probably the one thing that we take out of the first sort of period of the game. We turned the puck over a couple of times. Kohei, after he got the goal, tried a couple of angles towards the blue line, got picked off, and we got lucky with a couple of real strong there's the goal that he's talking from. I think Simon said on commentary and maybe on Saturday night as well, you know, as a defensive core, the Guildford Flames, Paul Dixon would have been too happy that he was able to hold on to a puck and skate right into the slot there, but got a nice shot away above the glove to put his 1-0 up. And excuse me, says go ahead. What a choke here.
You carry on, David. It's all right. No, the Yankees, right? You know, it's I think Davey's nailed it in the head. They've had 2 very, very similar games. You know, great to get that goal from Kohei. Let's be honest, Paul Dixon must have been absolutely livid with his group, because he, you know, he didn't have to work that hard to get into the middle. Lalonde, you know, if he got the stick parallel with me, he's getting taken for a penalty, and you know, Kohei just kept moving his feet and managed to get the goal, and then this lovely little 2-on-1 with Ben Lake to David Goodwin as well. And when you get those 2 goals, let's be honest, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, there's an opportunity that we, or possibility, sorry, that we could have basically folded if somebody got a goal or 2 against us. So the mentality and the game management from the group was really good as well. I thought Adam did, and it, you know, he doesn't like talking about himself, but I thought he did really well on the bench with, you know, they all looked at the ice time for all the players on Saturday and Sunday, Friday and Saturday. And, you know, everybody played a lot of minutes, which was great. And, but, you know, that little dish there to David Goodwin for his first of the night was an absolute gem of a pass from Maker. But they didn't go away. They just kept on coming back. Obviously, we managed to get the third and Goody's finishes again. But, you know, Tedesco creates a little bit of a gap for himself and manages to basically push it down the line and then cut to the middle. And that's, you know, just literally getting over the line, little drop pass. And it was, I just thought it was a great finish. But see this here, that's one of the best saves you'll see all summer, all season long. Sorry. Yes,
absolute stunt.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely superb. He's going from side to side here. Spears with his head up. Coops thought he, you know, he was basically putting a top shelf. And Berman come up with an absolute word. That definitely should be in save of the week this week without any shadow of a doubt.
The thing about I'll talk about this more when we get to the second game, probably after we talk to Tom Coolan and Mark Lefebvre. But the thing about Guildford is when they are behind the eight ball like that, the physicality ramps up, and we saw it as well with the fight between Oliver Cooper and Patrick Bajkov. Davey.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say I don't like it. I love to watch good physical hockey. I thought in the main, whites will not get everything. I don't think, and I talked about this on Twitter on Saturday morning. For me, that's not a game penalty. He slows up into it. He almost lays his hand down onto him. What do you call the fella? Says we were talking about him. He checks back there. Pugnet, isn't it? Going up the wall.
I think it's huge, isn't it?
Is it you? Sorry. He checks back at the very last minute. And we talk often, and when we're talking about instigator and we're talking about hits from behind, there's also a responsibility on the player that's getting hit, as there is on a player. There was a hit earlier in the game on Oliver Cooper, and I can't remember what player it is. The numbers are visible the whole time, and he puts him through the wall, 2 minute penalty. And that Oliver Cooper's trying to get parity. He's trying to get shoulder to shoulder. And as he makes that move, and he can't pull out at that stage, as he goes shoulder to shoulder, the guy checks back. He can't do anything, but and he bumps him. He doesn't slam him through. He doesn't go through the numbers and put him in the wall. He bumps him. He goes down. Very, very glad that he got straight back up. He's up on his feet watching the fight. And fair enough, his teammates came in and stood up for him, whatever you want to call that. That's fine, and I'm happy with that. 2 minutes, five for fighting. Get on with it. I thought in the main the referees had a pretty good game and not to let everybody play. It was almost that kind of, playoff kind of vibe going that we're just going to let them, decide it themselves out on the ice. And that's from, if you want to call it old school, whatever you want to call it. That's how I want the players to decide the outcome of the game.
That's
and,
it.
I just thought that the it wasn't a game penalty, and I think it was maybe a bad call. But in essence, I thought they're pretty good. 120 minutes,
but that's it, isn't it? It's like that physical, and I don't say that. I texted Scott Finley during the second game saying, as normal, Guildford are behind the eight ball, the physicality gets ramped up. But that physicality, that sort of level of fighting, that sort of level of, you know, that's the game that we've grown up watching, that's the game that we've enjoyed watching, a lot of it made us fall in love with the sport, and it's not in there anymore. And we've said this, we've talked about this ad nauseum about how the games changed, but I felt that both those games had elements in it that we'll come to the second one later on, but certainly this game had elements in it of that sort of old style of hockey, that sort of grit, that grind, that sort of feistiness.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, when you see Oliver Cooper's reaction to being thrown out, see if it's a bad hit. Most players know, you know what, I've done that guy there, and I'll take my penalty, I'll take my medicine. You see him by his attitude when he goes off the ice. He's not happy about the five-minute major. He's not happy about being thrown out of the game. I thought it was a soft one, but I do agree with Davey. I thought the officials had a good weekend. They did just let the boys go. I have absolutely no problem with, you know, getting stuck in there and having a bit of a battle in front of the net, letting guys just, you know, the cross checks and pushing them out of the way so your goaltender can see the puck. No problem whatsoever. But it's got to be both ways. I mean, Friday night, first game, you know, I think they had seven power plays, or 14 minutes of power plays compared to our 2 minutes, 21 seconds. But the next night, we had more power plays than they did. So over the weekend, it sort of basically leveled itself out. But again, I thought that over on Friday night especially, I didn't think we actually played that well. I thought we did okay, but I didn't think we played that well. I thought we played better on Saturday night. I thought the group, again, you get the first game, we haven't been fantastic this year on back-to-back games, but it was really good to see, you know, the reaction that, you know, like it's important here to get back into this and just win the second game in a row. So you've got a chance to win the third in a row. So, again, Berman played well. Jackson Whistle played well on our net as well, which then gave him the nod to play the next night as well. So it's an important step moving down the stretch. And again, there's not that many games left here to get ready for the playoffs, which ultimately you only need to win three games and you can win the playoff trophy.
You're right. Earlier on, by the way, it was seven games until the end of the regular season. Let's get the post game from both coaches.
Yeah, I thought last night was just very similar. I thought the games were you know, identical. Really, you know, I think yesterday the penalties were in their favor. Tonight they were in ours, and we got that third period big power play goal by Will, and you know, that gave us a little bit of insurance. I think that frustrations boiled over for them, and then you know their penalty kind of put the game away for us.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the one thing that's evident with ourselves is we just can't score at the minute. You know, and that's the bottom line. You know, obviously we go one down and then pretty much we tie the game again, just like we did last night. And then just a mistake for that second goal and then a power play goal for the third. But, you know, you're not going to win many hockey games only scoring one goal. And that's where our problem lies at the minute. You know, and it's a confidence thing. And for the last few games, we can't get off one goal.
Did anybody notice the mistake? No? Nobody? Okay. Let's bring Sam back and he dropped out there. The highlights of that game are from Giants TV. We are going to pause there on our analysis and we are going to talk about the games, one of the games that are taking place this weekend. We travel to Fife. And very glad to be bringing back to A View from the Bridge a man who gained rave reviews the last time he was on, telling us all sorts of stories. It's the head coach of the Fife Flyers, Tom Coolan. How are you doing, coach?
Hi, guys. How are you tonight?
Good to have you back. How are you doing?
Not bad. Thank you very much. Just relaxing over here on the other side of the, what would you call it, the North Sea? No, I'm on the North Sea.
The Irish Sea.
Irish. You're on the Irish Sea. I'm on the North Sea. That's where we are.
Your Fife Flyers are in a real battle at the minute. You know, you're looking for that eighth or seventh spot. Man, you're just looking to get back into that playoff berth, coming with a little under 10 games left in the season. How geared up are your men for that battle?
Well, I mean, our playoff, let's put it this way, our playoff started at least 2 weeks ago to 3 weeks ago. Maybe our playoff started on the new year because after December, we found ourselves in a bit of a hole. And so we've worked to battle our way out of there. And right now we've been on a good road and, you know, we've won four in a row. We've had, you know, one of the better records in the league over the last 15 or 20 games. So, you know, we're working our way through, and every game's a big game for us.
Interesting, because obviously you've one game this weekend. It's against us. You had one game last weekend. You went down to Cardiff. You took the win. It was in a shootout, wasn't it?
Yes.
The win in Cardiff. But that's no mean feat either, especially to travel from Fife all the way down to Cardiff and to take that win.
Yeah, I like to say that we're getting used to our travel schedule, but that's been a challenge. It's a challenge, believe me. But, you know we have to do it. And it was a tough game down in Cardiff, but I can't remember any game that hasn't been tough anywhere this season. I mean, that's the way the league is. The minute you think or feel that you are going to play less than your best, that's the night that you lose, because you just can't do that.
Coach, hockey aside, how much fun has it been this season? Has it been a good decision to come into the AHL?
Oh, yeah, I've had a lot of fun. You know, it's just, I think to be in Scotland, to be in the up here, first of all, has been a wonderful that's been a wonderful experience. It's a beautiful place, you know. I've been up north. I'll be going up again, but you know, I've been up into the Highlands, and Edinburgh is a beautiful city. We go in there all the time, my wife and I, and all the little towns and this, being on the sea. And I've really, honestly, I've coached a lot of places, but I really have enjoyed it. Just a great stage of my life. I've enjoyed my players, the people, the fans here, and Fife have been excellent. So it's been a good, you know, it's a plus. Thumbs up, so to speak. That's how I would look at it. So, yeah, it's been it's an experience that I've enjoyed.
Coach, you just mentioned it there. You said about, you know, you've coached a lot of places. Obviously, you know, you've coached internationally, but Team Canada and Latvia. You've done the DEL. You've done in Austria, Germany. You've seen the standard of hockey that you've coached at is, you know, it's been right very top level. And how do you feel the standard that you've seen so far in the IHL?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I look at the various leagues. You know, I've coached Finland and Switzerland and Germany, and our league here is as the quality of the game is as good as in especially the top teams. When you take Belfast and Cardiff and Sheffield and Guildford, you know, to name, I think they're the first four in our league now. Manchester's in there too, but those teams, I think, could compete on any night with teams in any of those leagues. That's how I see it. Now, I haven't watched the Swiss league this year, nor have I watched the Finnish league, but I just look at the teams and their composition of the teams, where the guys have played, and know that that level of player can, you know, switch to other leagues without a problem. So, and then not only that, you have good players, but with the import level of the league, you know, 15 imports, that's a whole, you know, you could say it is in our case. We've only, you know, you could take 15 guys and step into almost any league in Europe. So the level of play is really good. And so that's how I would say, that's what I would say.
It sort of leads me in the next question with a good segue. Thank you. You know, Kirkcaldy has long been a hotbed for local British talent. I mean, right the whole way back to the likes of Les Milley, and you've got David Smith and John Haig. You've got all these young guys around about my age now, but, you know, I played against them for many, many years. Have you been involved at all with the junior development program in Kirkcaldy leading in to this season? And
well, what we've done is first week I was here, we organized together with the what they call them the Fife the Kesslers, I think that's the term. Anyway, with the junior development program, that the team that's under us, we worked out where we have an exchange of players, but we also help out my guys. They were going out every Wednesday night to at least two guys to help with the young kids in Fife, and they did that of their own on their own free time. And that was a good relationship building and supportive movement from our players. But we haven't been doing it much since Christmas, since the new year, just because we've had a lot of games and we've had midweek games and hasn't been as easily done. But certainly we have got a camp coming up here with all the little kids that I know I'm going to get out there with them. And so, yeah, it's a give and take. Let's put it that way.
How important is it how important do you think it is to sort of pass that on to get to bring? Because obviously, you know, the development of this game in this country has to keep going. But especially when somebody like yourself, who is a wealth of experience, let me put that kindly, a wealth of experience through your career, comes in. Yeah. You know, do you feel an onus to pass that on?
Well, I think it's I'm always there. And I think it's a two-way street. People have to reach out somewhat. And I think I have to reach out too. And I think we did that by getting our players out there to work with the kids and so on. But I haven't really sat down with many coaches. Matter of fact, I haven't done that, just to share different coaching ideas. And that's one thing that actually, that's a really good idea, to get together with the coaches and have a chat, just talk. You know, but yeah. there's interaction there. The thing about, you know, when I look at the whole, you know, getting back to your question about how this all looks and how our league is and so on. I mean, I like to see, I think that there's always room for improvement in the development programs in all the countries. But I look at some, you know, and in our league here, we've got a lot of imports playing. There's not as many British guys, and the way it's set up, the top British guys, is no secret. The top British guys are playing with the top teams in the league. That's where it kind of falls away from. It's kind of uneven in that way. You know, each team plays 15, has 15 imports. And then from 15 to 20, you know, some teams have the best British guys and that have played in the national team. And then, you know, and like anything, the quality of the player from 15 to 20 varies from the teams. And most of the top teams are where those guys want to play.
When you look at, you know, I find it interesting you say, you know, sitting down with the other coaches and having a chat. Through your career, you know, in your career spans, you know, the NHL, North America, Germany, yep. Finland, Denmark. Yep. How has your coaching changed? Has your coaching changed? Or because I remember we've had the privilege through all of these shows of chatting to a number of coaches, and quite often some coaches say hockey's hockey. There's only certain plays you can do. There's only certain ways you can approach it. But does coaching change?
Well, I was chatting to a guy the other day. I don't know if coaching changes, but I think sometimes you have to change with the people that you're working with. And I think the coach has to change with the times. And I believe that over in this day and age, that it seems to me that the players are a little more sensitive than they were 20 years ago. So if you don't want to, you don't want to insult people, or you just want to, I think I would say that not me so much, because I think I've been a pretty easy to get along guy. But some guys, and I don't think their approach would be as openly accepted today as it was 20 years ago. And I think coaches are changing in that regard. You know, the disciplinarian fire and brimstone, or whatever you want to say. I think that coach is kind of not as prevalent as he once was. You know, the dictator coach is not so much today as he was at one time.
Is that so? Is that something that's been lost? Do you think that's a good thing, or is that a bad thing?
Well, I think it depends who your audience is. And the audience, are they able to, and that's why I'm saying that the players today are a little more sensitive. where you could might yell at a guy on the bench, you know, yell at him, which I don't even like the term. I don't even like the term, but you
encourage.
Might encourage him in a certain way. And that way, I like that.
Forcefully
that way of it. Yes. That went way from of encouragement has gone somewhat to the wayside, and one needs a different approach to encourage these days as they once did. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that term. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a different approach. Yeah. No, I just think it's a different clientele that you're dealing with.
It was interesting to watch.
That's what I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting to watch Simon's face there when you're saying that, because obviously Simon played at a time when there might have been, and I've seen Simon coaching a rec team there, and there's guys like Roberto that still get told a certain way to play, and older guys seem to take it a wee bit maybe better than some of the younger guys. But if we bring it back to the EIHL, sort of half a dozen games left, coach, before the playoffs start. Is it just pops full open now? Just everything out in the ice every night?
Well, I would say that that going in here now, that everybody wants to, I mean, these last games outside of Sheffield, Belfast, and Cardiff, I would say the rest of these games are critical at this stage, and that everybody will be giving everything they have. Now, I know, we were outside that playoff spot, and we've battled into it. We're right there, but yet we've been looking at almost every game, like I said, for a month being a critical game. So, we're on a 4-game winning streak here, and we've gotten points on every weekend since New Year's. But, would we have been able to do that if we were in a situation where we were sitting in first or second place? I don't know. The need to get points is greater for us than probably most teams. So we know that we've put everything we have. We've put everything into our preparation and our game that we can. And that's the way we've played for that month. I'm not exactly sure, because I lose a lot in the translation, that Irish and Scottish is not that easy for me to follow. But so, I mean, actually, your actual question is I think what your actual question are we looking at these last games as being critical for us? And I would say yes.
Obviously, the Belfast Giants have got a game on Saturday night against Dundee. You've got a real battle there and to get into those playoff spots. I'm sure you'll be cheering for Belfast on Saturday night.
Well, I mean, I would say I will be too, to be. And then once that game's over, I won't be cheering for Belfast anymore. So it's as simple as that.
Two quick questions for me, and then we're just going to move to something else. But two,
no problem.
One, your former Chargers in Katowice played in the Continental Cup down in Cardiff a number of weeks ago. Did they contact you for any sort of inside information as to how to play against the Cardiff Devils?
No, not one little bit. Did they do that? I don't really. I know the GM is still. I talk to him now and then, but no, they didn't ask me any questions about it, and that was fine with me. I just watched actually one of those games the other day. Cardiff and the team from Kazakhstan. I watched that, finally was able to figure out how to get it on my computer, so I watched it. But they didn't ask me any questions. That's fine.
And then one other question is we've had a hello from Jeff Baum, and if you don't remember who Jeff Baum is, he's the guy dressed as a cowboy when you were in Belfast the other week. Did you enjoy cowboy night apart from the results?
Beautiful. Yeah. I remember. Yeah, he was a fine man, and I talked to him. Thanks for that picture or having a look. He was a fine gentleman, and we have a mutual friend that he had. He sells. Well, he's in the car business,
A
friend of mine who coaches down there in Dallas had bought his car, Corvette Stingray, from him.
Nice.
So we talked. We were talking about Rick Bonus, who was the coach in Dallas at that time, and also is the coach in Winnipeg, and a guy who, grew up in Halifax, Nova Scotia, where I grew up, and we coached hockey camps together and skated together, and I know his brother, and I played with his brother and him, and anyway, we were talking about him, so that was nice, and I enjoyed that very pleasant conversation with Mr. Baum. Yeah,
top guy is Jeff Baum. Right, we're going to hold you there for a second. You said you wanted to know about having a coaches conference. Let's try something here. Please welcome back, friend of the show, the head coach of the Dundee Stars, Mark Lefebvre.
Next, how you doing? How's it going?
Not bad.
We never get a chance to talk.
Well, we're always referees. We never get a chance.
We're too.
To talk.
Yeah.
That's you're only down the road from each other. How's that? You know, it's.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, but
there's
know,
there's a light side in Dundee. There's a dark side in Kirkcaldy. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
Mark, you two are in a real battle here with Nottingham. You could throw a blanket over about three or four or five of that sort of mini league trying to get into those playoff spots. How tense does it get at this time of the season?
Well, you just take it one game at a time more than anything. You can't focus on everybody else. You have to focus on yourselves and take care of your own business. If you're too busy. It helps when other teams are winning for you and helping you out, but it's also nice that you take care of your own business and go through the front door instead of the back door into the playoffs. Obviously, you know, between probably Guildford, Coventry, Glasgow, ourselves, Fife, Nottingham, we're all still in it, and we're still battling for points now. And every game's crucial. Every point's crucial, whether you lose a game in overtime or you win 2 points outright in regulation. Everything's... it goes right down to the wire here, right to the final week, and I think it's going to go right down to when we play Fife in the doubleheader there in the last week of the season.
It's crazy.
Is that the last weekend? You guys play each other last weekend?
Back to back.
Wow. That'll be
they
good.
Set it up. They set it up that way, I guess, last summer. They said,
sell more tickets that way too. So
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Tom, we said you do. Obviously, Tom, are you watching Dundee? Are you watching Nottingham? Are you watching Glasgow? Are you keeping an eye to see, or are you just focusing on your own game?
I would say watching them, no, but I follow the standings. But I think, as Mark said, you have to take care of your own house and not worry. You can't, nothing you can do. I can do about watching the other team, when I should be focusing on my own people. And that's, I think most of us just try to do that. And again, also play the game as it comes, one game at a time. You know, it's an old cliche, but that's all you can do. And if you drive yourself crazy, if you want to keep looking at all the other teams every night, it'll fall the way it's going to fall. And that's, you try to control yourselves. That's best you can do. That's how I see it.
Mark, just before you came on, Coach Cullen was talking about how maybe times have changed. Players can't take, maybe sensitive was a term he used. They're slightly more sensitive now than they maybe were when you first started your coaching career. And only just a couple of weeks there ago, you came out quite firmly against your players. You know, you said four goals, I think, in five games, and you were openly critical about them. Had you just got to a point where doing all the nice stuff behind closed doors wasn't working, and like a public lambasting was the kind of a way to try and spark a reaction?
Well, I think as coaches, you have to walk a fine line with what you do. Either there's one day to blast them, there's another day you got to call them a little bit. So you're always trying to tread that line on the good and the bad. So there's different ways of getting a reaction from guys, and it obviously works when we put seven past Nottingham the next game. So you always got to do it a different way. And you know, this generation of player, and I'm sure Tom can speak this, you got to treat them a little bit differently. They're always asking questions, why we're doing this, why we're doing that. And you and Bear have the answer when they ask.
Right. So right.
It's a big, like I said, it's a fine line between how you got to manage your group as a whole and each player individually. Cause there's some players that can handle it. That kid, you know, handle the criticism, handle that blasting. Whereas another player can't, where you more have to take them aside and do it individually talk sternly to them and almost in a friendly manner, talk to them that way. Cause they won't be able to accept that kind of criticism. So it works both ways.
Yeah. It's one of those ones where some of them you've got to put an arm around their shoulder, and there's other ones who, you know, you feel okay that it's okay to give them a kick in the ass, Mark?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I know there's, you know, different guys I've coached over the years that they love just being blasted at. They wanted me to point them out in video and call them out in video sessions. And there's other guys, if I do that or I did that at a time, they just melt and the reaction will go the other way.
Yeah, yeah.
You can have a reaction way of you know, taking away a player's ice time or minutes, taking them off the power play. And you just got to watch which guy it is, because sometimes there's a reaction in the positive manner and there's a reaction in the negative manner. So it's right psychologist, basically. You have to manage 20 different guys' personalities and how they react to situations. So you walk a fine line with every guy.
Yeah. Tom, we're going to let you go in just a second. But last time we had this scenario, we had Adam Keefe on at the same time as Pete Russell, and I did this and I see it. Have you got a question for Mark?
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to ask you, Mark, to ask the same way the other way, but I've given Tom the first share to this.
I know Tom and I have a mutual friend in Sean O'Donnell in Halifax. So.
Sean O'Donnell.
I coach Sean in Cincinnati and in Denmark, so he speaks highly of you. Anyways, I know you're friends with his dad, so
that's great. That's great. Yeah, and actually, I said hello to him the other day. But his dad and I, we were line mates in we were line mates in college, and we played it back in the day. We played senior hockey on the same line, and mm-hmm. and then we were his dad. Sean O'Donnell and I, his dad, Larry, is a great friend of mine. But the thing was, when I came last year, I was coached in Slovakia, and I was on my way over, and I knew Sean O'Donnell was a player. I knew Sean was a player, but I had never met him. So I sat down on a plane. Or no, I was in a lineup and we're just talking and where are you off to? I didn't know who he was. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play hockey. I said, oh, really? I'm involved in hockey. I've been a little involved in hockey. And so I said, so where are you from? Halifax. Oh, yeah. What's your name? Sean O'Donnell. Oh, Sean O'Donnell. You wouldn't be any related to that big. I kind of insulted his dad, just joking around. And that big dummy, Larry O'Donnell. And he said, well, I sure am. I'm his son. And so we had a wonderful chat after that. We took pictures and sent them home to his dad. Anyway, it was just great. And I'm glad that he's a worker. That's what I get out of that, Mark.
He'd be in the gym at about 9 p.m. on a Friday evening when everybody else is going out and doing their thing on the weekend. So his work ethic is second to none. But I know he skates with Crosby and McKinnon in the summertime. So
that's right.
He has a lot of work ethic from those guys, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great guy. Phenomenal. That's great. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thanks. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Okay.
Tom, so now,
I have to have a question.
Mine wasn't really a question. It was more of a mutual friend, more than
anything. Yeah, no, that's great. That's a great discussion. So, no, that's good. No, I'm just, I have no idea what Dundee's like. How do you like it up there?
Well, it was good enough for me to come back a second time. So,
right on. Right on.
But no, they treat me well here. I can't complain about anything. So it's a great organization. So it's, and we obviously have a great rivalry with you guys. So, but you treat it very well. The city's great. They're really developing, especially along the waterfront there. I don't know if you see when you come over to the bus.
No, I haven't, but I'd like to take a drive up.
Yeah.
My wife and I are always looking for places to go, and I don't know enough about Dundee to go up, and even to enjoy the waterfront would be fun, you know?
Yeah, no, there's plenty to do. If you have a dog, there's plenty to do too. So it's a good area, that's for sure.
Right on.
And before we let Tom go, Mark, have you got something you want to ask him?
If you can give us those 4 points in the final weekend,
no problem. The check, they're in the mail.
That's right.
We'll see if it gets there on time.
That's right.
Should be fun.
Tom, right. Listen, Tom.
Looking forward to the challenge down the stretch here. I think probably Tom alluded to it earlier. I think every game matters, every point. So it's going to be fun right to the end. And I think it's great. So much parity this year that we can have this kind of finale to the end of the regular season.
I know, it's great, isn't it? It's great. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's good. Okay, guys. Well,
Tom, listen, we really appreciate your time, and you've only won game this weekend. We don't wish you luck in it, but you know,
that's maybe. Right. I know. And how many do you guys have, Mark?
Seven
how many
more.
Do you have? Just the water.
We have three.
Oh, three.
Three? No.
Yeah. Well, we've only played two in the last 2 weeks. Now we have three this week. So go figure.
Oh, holy Jesus! It's crazy. Hey, I'll tell you one thing, guys. Everybody. Let's see if we can do something about that December. We played 14 games in 28 days. I've never done that anywhere in my career, anywhere. And then we're jammed in those two games over Christmas with Dundee. And it looked like, I think we might have played them another two. I don't know. But, boy, there's too many games in that December. I hope they don't do that again.
Everybody loves Christmas.
Tom, I heard you like to travel, though. That's the rumor around the league that you really love to travel.
That I'm what?
That you love to travel around the league.
Oh, listen, they already came to me and said, stop complaining about it. So Well, some guys, I won't tell you who. And then, so I have a new lease. Hey, Mark, I have a new lease on life, I'd say. I love the travel. I finally gotten used to it. It's not a problem anymore.
Right.
Perfect. That's it.
Brilliant.
Anyway, that's
Tom,
it.
Tom, listen, we really appreciate your time.
Okay, guys, have a good one. See you again. Good luck, then.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, see you.
Big thanks to Tom Cullen. We'll stick with you, Mark. Listen, you had that fantastic win of the Nottingham Panthers just at the weekend. Yeah. You know, that's, as we said, there you've got a situation where they're trying to get back into, obviously, we'll not go into the whole strife and why they're trying to get back into it, but they're trying to get desperately back into it. There you've got Fife who are fighting for it. So to get that win against a team that are in that fight must have been really satisfying for you.
I think I'm more happy for the players more than anything. We've gone through that rut there in the last month or so. You know, we've been dropping points in some key games, whether it's against Manchester or Coventry. So to be able to beat a team that's just chasing us in the standings and keep us within striking distance of other teams was imperative.
That's the thing, but especially at this time of year when it comes to it, and I said, you know, about how tense it is, and I think, how do you prepare these guys? Because Tom Cullen obviously said to us earlier on that he thinks they've been playing playoff hockey for about 2 weeks now.
Well, that's been our mentality, right? So, but it goes back to, I think we're just in a new generation of player. Like, some guys can handle the pressure of that. Some guys can't handle the pressure. It's totally different. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, coaches in Austria, the other day about it. And, you know, they got swept in their playoff series just because the players can't handle that pressure of what the team achieved at the season before. So for our guys, it's just one game at a time. Let's just focus on what's the next task in hand and then go from there.
Coach, I'm just looking at out of one eye here at your lineup. Five games in the next 10 days, really, you know, from tomorrow. That's a pretty intense schedule, albeit two to Glasgow, one to Belfast. The travel isn't terrible in those, but on the two home games, obviously. But that's a pretty intense schedule, like even at this stage of the season.
Well, sometimes it's a good thing. You don't have time to think, and you just go roll into the next game and game after game, and you just worry about the next one in front of you. So, and then go from there. So as my dog, they're just
I just wonder what that was like. None of us.
So, But you just worry about the next game and you just roll into it. So sometimes when you lose, like, you know, we had that loss against Coventry, we had about a week to think about it almost and dwell on it a little bit. So then we just got ourselves back up and prepared for Nottingham. But, you know, these games, whether you win them or lose them, you just got to roll into the next one.
And is it just a case that there's no little mini targets now? It's just trying to pick something up from every game if you can.
Yeah, you just have to maximize as many points here. We have 8 left. You know, we want to try and get 16, obviously, and get the playoffs.
Mark, you look at the parity, as you say, throughout the league. I mean, maybe Cardiff and Sheffield aside, you win tomorrow night, I think, is it the 6th you can go? I mean, that's how tight it is down the bottom. I mean, it's just absolutely insane right now.
Yeah, I think it's so good for the league. I know I can only speak for a lot. I can't really speak for last year, sorry, but I only look at the standings and there didn't seem to be that much parity from the bottom to the top teams. Obviously, you guys did what you guys had to do to win the league and all the trophies available, and we're head and shoulders above everybody else. And then you looked at the bottom where Dundee, Fife, Glasgow were, and they weren't even close to the other teams in the middle of that pack. This year, I think every coach, GM has done such a good job of recruiting their teams. That allows that parity throughout the league. I know Sheffield is pretty much doing what you guys did last year, but everybody else from second all the way through, you know, it can beat anybody on any given night.
You seem to have uncovered a couple of absolute gems this year. You look at Ryan Valentini, you've got Spencer Nass, Brendan Harms, you know, that top line of that you basically have put together. Those guys just seem to be rolling and you know, is it a fair point that if they play well, you guys play well?
Well, I think a lot of guys feed off those guys, but if you look at our game against Nottingham, we had seven different goal scorers that game. So we just, you know, I know on paper it looks like we rely on those guys quite a bit, and Dryden Dow, obviously. But those other guys, you know, we have some good secondary scoring. Obviously, it went missing there a little bit for a few games, but hopefully what we did against Nottingham picks up for this week as well.
Coach, we've said about this running and about what you've got, you know, the games you've got. How is the preparation going? How are you gearing these guys up mentally for this fight?
No, we just take it as one game at a time. That's all it comes down to. Obviously, you know, a couple of good days of practice here this week. And, you know, the game against Nottingham is over and done with. Now it's 0-0 tomorrow night against Guildford. You know, they're still within striking distance for ourselves as well. We've had some good results against them this season so far. And I know they want to get their little run of games. I watched the last two games against you guys. And obviously, they were in the cup final for a reason. They were a good team. And but they're looking to pick up some form here, and they haven't been that great lately. So hopefully it's not against us tomorrow night, and we notice 2 big points in the overall scheme of things.
Listen, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for having a chat with Tom. And, you know, obviously we're not wishing you well in the Giants game, but good luck in this stretch and the fight for the playoffs.
Appreciate it, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
Big thanks to Mark Lefebvre, as always. Friend of the show. There only are 2 friends of the show. Who are the 2 friends of the show, Davey?
Well, Mark Lefebvre.
Mark Lefebvre.
The friend of the show.
Mark Lefebvre is the friend of the show. Who's the other one? Neil Francis.
Nobody is friend of the show. Nobody is important. No, Franny. Friend of the show.
Yeah, Franny's the other friend of the show. But yeah, big thanks to...
Who were the 4 formerly of this parish?
Television's Neil the Coach Russell.
Yeah.
Joel Neil. Connor Caldwell.
Oh.
Aaron Kernan. Formerly of this parish.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. So let's revisit where we were and have a quick, we'll blast through this very quickly. It was a 3-1 win on Saturday for the Belfast Giants. Kohei Sato opening the scoring. Daniel Tedesco with the game winning goal and Will Cullen on the power play with a 3 for the Giants. Peter Cronella was the scorer for the Guildford Flames in nets. Jackson Whistle, 19 shots on, 1 goal against. And the other side, Taz Berman, 34 shots on, 3 goals against. Refs for that night as well were again Andy Dalton and Vitas Lukasvicius. Big shout as well to Daniel Tedesco, who got the game-winning goal, and on the same night, Barzo got to present him with the A View from the Bridge Player of the Month Award for February. Thanks to Funicab for sponsoring that award, as always. Says we were tighter at the back. We didn't give as many shots this time, but the outcome was exactly the same.
Yeah, I really enjoyed both games at the weekend, but I thought Saturday night's game was really, really good. You know, again, both goaltenders played very, very well. Our first goal was a stunning goal, to be honest. It was a lovely little move behind his own net by Jacob Friend, and then a quick up to Kieran Long. Longer cuts down the left wing. Coey gets in a two-on-one with him, and Longer basically says, I think he gave the goaltender the eyes. Waited for the defenseman to make a little bit of a poke check there and fed it across to him. And again, you know, you want to get the first goal in these games. And, you know, you've sort of got Jackson Whistle on both games. Early on, they had an opportunity to go 1-0 up, and he came up big on both games as well. So it's I thought Saturday night's game was, again, you talk about the physical aspect, Paddy. You know, I thought it was very physical on Saturday night as well. Even when we went 1-0 up, the Flames reacted very quickly and got back to 1-1. But again, we didn't disrupt them. I think it's fair to say we played 2 60-minute games. Not perfectly, but I thought we just played and managed ourselves really, really well. Kieran Long played very, very well at the weekend. Defensively, Davey just touched on it earlier as well. I thought defensively we were a lot stronger as well. Jeff Baum and Josh Rhodes played very, very well together as per normal. And, you know, obviously Cully getting a power play goal, which was an absolutely wonder finish going top shelf. But,
unreal.
You know, really important to get those goals at crucial times, and obviously going 2-1 up again, and obviously getting the third one up, they give an opportunity to come back and late in the game and try to put a goalie, but we managed to hold on and get the 4 points for the weekend.
What was the difference in this game compared to the night before, Davey? Was there any difference?
I think we were a bit more defensively responsible all over the ice, all five guys in the ice at the time. I think our passing was probably a little crisper on Saturday night, but I think it all starts with, like, there's that feed that Ciz is talking about, and just this press on the stick that I'm going to shoot and passing it over there.
Lovely.
It is a great goal, and that could feature in one of the goals of the week as well. It's a real nice goal. I just thought, as to go back again, I just think that as units on the ice, we were just more responsible than we were on Saturday night. We were a little bit look after our own end first, and we have the ability to go and win easy enough. A real strong performance, I thought, on Saturday night. I had something else that I was going to say, but I've lost my train of thought a wee bit. Can't remember what it was. It was going to be really important to me. He's like, let everybody down there.
I'll let you think about it while I speak to Ciz, because one of the side conversations we had, myself, Davey, and the aforementioned formerly of this parish television's Neil Coach Russell, is the crowds, right? And you look at the way, and you look at the crowds we had both those nights, and look at the crowds that we've been ramping up. And obviously the news came out this week with regards to the attendance figures across Europe. And the way that the Giants fans and the way that Belfast has turned out for the Belfast Giants this year has been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been great. And there's a lot of people involved in it. Obviously, we talk about it's a winning team last year. That's just carried forward this year. You know, I think it's fair to say it's been inconsistent. But the fans have been the complete opposite. It's just gone from strength to strength. You know, we're over 2,300 season ticket holders. You've got... you know, I think the average crowd is 6-7 this year, 6-750 or something like that. And, you know, we've had a lot more games this year when we've been able to put the East End in, just due to the way the concerts run. So Saturday's game is close to a sellout, and I know next Saturday's game is close to a sellout. I led to believe that Sheffield are bringing 1,000 fans in the doubleheader weekend in April. So I would bet that that's going to be close to a sellout as well. So it's just been absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, from the, you know, the commercial side of things to the comm side of things to the playing side of things, everybody's bought into it. And everybody's basically doing their part to make it work. And we're obviously doing something right. It's absolutely fantastic right now.
Davey, you've been looking at some of the statistics for that, and the crowds have just been getting better and better.
Yeah, listen, COVID was a big factor in everybody's life, whether we like it or not. And we were building from almost zero, having to come back in, the complete unknown, people still a wee bit worried about coming back to games and everything that brought along. And it wasn't instant success, but it slowly crept up. And obviously Simon's factored in there that, you know, having the East End in on almost a permanent basis, what, since slightly before Christmas, Simon, maybe only one weekend where you haven't had it. It's not easy to fill those seats. They just don't fill themselves. There's a lot of hard work goes into filling that. So you have to give like credit to that off-ice team there that's filling, putting bums in those seats every week, because they're not having that full bowl in there. Players want to play in front of it, and they want to get themselves up, and they don't want to let people down. So it's a big incentive for those guys to go out there every week in front of a big crowd as well. And there's Teddy coming up and following up on his own rush up the ice to get the game-winning goal, as you said, Patrick. But I want to let it roll on here to the Will Collins goal. That's what I'd written in my hand. Collins goal. Somebody reminded me down there. Is that what I was thinking about? The other week, whenever Dicko was on commentary with Simon, and somebody scored a similar goal at the East End, Simon, I can't remember who it was now, roofed it over the goalie's shoulder.
The shoulder.
Nick Spears.
Remember?
Was Nick Spears goal.
And Andrew Dixon gave me something new to look at. He's talking about this new technique that some goalies have. I think on the night he called it vertical horizontal or horizontal vertical or something, where a goalie is covering as well as high low or something. I can't remember what he called it. But the goalie does exactly that. As Will Cullen looks to take the shot, the goalie's taking away the low side. And when you take away the low side, obviously you slightly drop your shoulder because you can't be up and down. He's covering that percentage, that sort of angle percentage. And Cullen just finds the roof of the net. I don't know whether you can wind it on here, Paddy, because we need to get on the show here. But it's just a perfect example of when a goaltender does that and the speed of the recognition from Will Cullen. There's nowhere else to put that puck but roof. And my goodness, here it is here. How he roofs that. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The goalie's taking away the bottom of the net because then there's nowhere for Cullen to shoot. And he just, oh, it's a devastating shot. And, you know, great to see Cullen. He's had looks. He's usually getting his looks from the top of the circle. He likes to come in there and go, yo, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Here's a replay.
Down low there. And Jeff Baum driving the blue paint, gets taken out by Locke. Nazarian just patient on the puck.
They were static as well. They were static as well. They were what, puck watching, left them open.
I don't think anyone on commentary can believe that he's taken that shot and scored from there. It's incredible. Yeah, no, this is incredible.
All four of them eyes behind the net.
Listen, that was their third game in four nights, right at the end of the third period. It was tough going for them, to be honest. We played really well on Saturday night, but you know, you see Berman there down. He was already down. He left the whole top of the net open for him. I'm not saying it's an easy shot, but you know, it's obviously he's got to get the puck elevated up past, but he had a lot of space to skate into it. And you know, I didn't actually realize it was in at the time, and then I seen the big puff of smoke coming from behind the net because of an in and out that quickly. So, great finish from Will Cullen, and it's just great to get the 2 points and the two wins at home in the doubleheader weekend.
One of the things I saw there just from the highlights as well reminded me that earlier on today I got a question from Jonathan Hughes on Twitter, who sent it in the AVFTB, saying that how important has Bobby Mack been in this run into the team, because it reminds him of a certain number 72. I think you saw in this game that he was a bit of a pest, Davey.
To quote somebody from a while ago, he's definitely one of my favorite alligators. You know, he's agitating away there, really, really good what he's doing. He rattles people, and Simon will come on this as well. Behind the play, going to the benches, non-stop. So your shift, Bobby McIntyre's shift, isn't just jumping on the ice trying to affect the play. His shift is, he's maybe back-checking, he's maybe going for a change, but before he goes for a change, he'll give somebody a wee tap. He'll make sure he's jawing them at the bench as they're getting on. He's still at them. In their heads, rent free the whole time he's on the ice. They're thinking about him. They're not concentrating on the game. I love that. Love that.
Sis?
Love it. Absolutely love it. You know, he does remind me of Darryl Lloyd and his chirps. I mean, it's like Scott Conway was king of chirps. He absolutely loved it. But you know, really Bobby just has that trick of getting under people's skin. And you just want to rip his head off if you're an opposition player. you know, and the big thing about it is, you know, I don't think he's going to drop a gloves with anybody, but, you know, he does mind taking a dig in the back every once in a while to try and basically, you know, create a power play for the team. And he's got a few bumps and bruises about him. But, yeah, I love Bobby Mack's game. He's a funny kid. Really, really, I'm really enjoying watching him play.
Here, here. Right, the highlights from those games of the weekend are on Giants TV on YouTube. One question just before I move on. Obviously, we got these two games this weekend. We spoke about them earlier in regards to Fife and Dundee. Wins like those, Davey, two wins like that against Guildford, and, you know, Guildford have their own sort of skid at the minute, and, you know, that's their problem. But wins like that against Guildford, these two come in. Yes, we've got Cardiff and Sheffield and all mixed into there. But we're on a playoff push now. This, we said, you know, the two coaches earlier on both said that they're playing playoff hockey. Should we be?
I just think at this stage, with so few games left, with seven games left before
seven regulation games, that
playoff weekend, it's just about making sure everybody's playing as well as they can play, everybody's as fit as they can be, all those little niggles can potentially be rested in and out, you know, if there's going to be spare guys, you can maybe rest niggles here and just get everybody tuned up. Almost for me at this stage of the season with where we are, rest is going to be vitally important, training's going to be, you know, getting those days training in, what coach wants to do on those last two weekends. Are the next lot of weeks important? Yes, not in the overall scheme of things. It's down to this last two weekends. But yeah, if you winning becomes a habit, and I would say that's the most important thing. Winning's becoming a habit. The goaltenders, Paul Dixon said in his post game, you know, came up against a hot goaltender. I always love that. That's a great compliment. So, you know, if you're getting good goaltending and the guys are scoring goals and you're getting scoring from different lines and you're being defensively responsible like we were on Saturday night, then you just take that into the next game, the next shift, the next game is just the most important one. It's, I know it's cliche and all, but really just go and try and do the business in the first game this week. And as Simon said, one becomes two becomes three, and that's all you've got to try and focus on there.
Simon, given the fact that we have, you know, so many injuries and stuff, and that we are trying to get back, and we mentioned Matty earlier on as well, whatever, and all that sort of stuff. But I stick by the question, should we be playing playoff hockey now?
Yeah, we should be. And to be honest, I think we are. You know, it's getting grittier, and you want to get your, you know, win those battles along the wall. I thought we did that a lot on Saturday evening, and or Friday evening as well. It's just, as Davey touched on, it's next opponent up, get ready to go. Look, guys would much rather be playing games than practice. You look at our this from now right through until next weekend against Glasgow. So we've got with practice on, this is Tuesday. Yeah. So we've practiced Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We play Saturday, travel Sunday, travel home Monday, travel Sunday, play, travel home Monday, practice Tuesday, travel Wednesday, play Wednesday night, travel home Thursday, practice Friday, play Saturday night, play Sunday. You know, so it's
away Sunday as well. Travel.
Away and travel Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it is. It's a tough schedule this late in the season, and it is just about, you know, there's not going to be much practicing involved. It's literally just to keep the legs fresh and keep the legs going. So, you know, hopefully we can concentrate in the next game. Forget about what's happening after on Sunday, or forget what's happening, you know, next Wednesday in Cardiff. That's concentrating Dundee on Saturday, and hopefully get a win against Mark Lefebvre's team.
Let's get a bit of news, boys. I'll just, while I'm doing that, as always, we'll put on the goals of the week. Steelers won the Challenge Cup. Well done, done. Elsewhere, Manchester Storm are the in-form team at the minute. A 3-1 win at home to Coventry and a 3-2 win away at the Clan should start to cement another playoff berth for Matt Ginn and his team. They currently sit in fourth, I think, behind the Belfast Giants, who themselves have now officially qualified for the playoffs. Bad weekend for Nottingham. We mentioned earlier the 7-4 defeat in Dundee, and that was compounded at home against Sheffield, who won 3-2 in a shootout. Mixed weekend for the Cardiff Devils. They're looking to solidify that second place. Fife, as we said earlier, took a 4-3 shootout win in their only game of the weekend for the Flyers. Before the Clan ended another 0-point weekend for them, being shut out at Kyle Bond Arena in Cardiff Bay. Finally, Sheffield could take the Elite League title on Wednesday night in Cardiff, following their own 7-4 win in Coventry, which has put them on the precipice of the first league title in 8 years. I'm just going to let the goals of the week run on here because obviously we have a bit of an investment in this ourselves. I'll do that by asking you a question, Davey, about the Manchester Storm. The Storm seem to be on a bit of a run at the minute, and we've spoken to Matt again a few times in this, and we love having him on the show. But that would be back-to-back playoffs for them from an organization that had struggled to make playoffs. That's phenomenal in the first 2 years of coaching for Ginner.
Superb. And were you on last week?
Yes, I wasn't on the week before.
We talked about this at length last week, didn't we? And their sort of reaction to Ryan Finnerty's statement that obviously Ginner, he was on, you know, you could tell from the body language he wasn't dying about it, but you know, it's hard to say that there wasn't a reaction at least from the players. And the coaches maybe said, lads, come on, getting embarrassed here. The coaches call, or the GM or whatever is calling us out in the media, so let's get our act together. And like, they've been on a hot run for how many games did you say now? 10, 15 games, something like that. And taking a lot of beating in their own barn, as we've seen ourselves a number of weeks ago when I thought we were pretty secure, and you said everything happens fast here, mate. This isn't over, and all of a sudden,
always the same.
And it was over, and it was a long drive home with licking our wounds, you know. But you wouldn't necessarily want to be coming up against a hot Manchester team to have to go into their bar and try and take something out to come home with.
No, absolutely not. One more piece of news, and that is that on Saturday's game in Nottingham between the Panthers and the Steelers, newly crowned or not, is an appreciation night by the Panthers for the Belfast Giants title-winning coach and the Sheffield Steelers title-winning player, Paul Eddy. Well done to them for being so gracious. But, you know, says Paul Eddy, you know, he deserves this. He obviously, you know, I'm being facetious, a fantastic player for the Nottingham Panthers, but and a great coach for us.
Absolutely. You know, he's got his number retired in Nottingham, and a really nice guy as well. You know, he's like, you don't become a good, this is the bit for me that I struggle with is I just can't believe he hasn't got a coaching job. I just can't get my head around that at all. However, he's been out of the game now for what, 8-9 years. So it's tough to pick a job up like that, but congratulations to him. He's a nice guy and obviously did very well for us in his year here in Belfast, which we're very grateful for.
Yep, he was very, very gracious to us and very kind to us, sort of, view from the bridge, sort of the access he gave to himself and to his team in that season when he won the league. Davey, and I know you've got a lot of time for the coach.
Oh, I like him. After he apologised for the...
Which is ironic, isn't it? the irony that you've got a lot of time for Paul Eddy.
once he made that apology, you know, I was more than happy to fall in behind his regime. No, lovely guy who is equally happy to chat about mundane life things as he is to talk hockey. And, you know, it's really nice the Steelers and Panthers to recognise his last championship win, which was obviously on Belfast Ice. So, you know, good for them. Thanks.
Good for them. Yep. I'm going to stick the league table. Everybody knows that we've said there that the Sheffield Steelers can win the title if they beat the Cardiff Devils tomorrow. The Belfast Giants have two games this weekend. They are at home to the Stars on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena. As Mr. Kitchen says, if you haven't got a ticket, you need to get one quick, because this is going for another sellout. And if you don't get a ticket, you don't get down there, then Giants TV is the place to watch it. And then we go over to Kirkcaldy, 5:15 on Sunday, in the Fife Ice Arena in Kirkcaldy. And if you're not making that trip over, Flash TV with Laura and Bean is where you will be able to follow it. Any other business, gentlemen?
Yeah. I got a text from Boxy on Sunday night. It was absolutely bizarre. I think he must be in Vegas for a...
he's always in Vegas, that man.
I can know you. It must be a trade show or something. And he sent me this, and he met this guy in a bar in Vegas with a St. Patrick's jersey on. I think that's last year's St. Patrick's jersey. Yeah. But it just goes to show the Belfast Giants are not just in Belfast anymore. They're all over the show. So, look, it's always great to chat to Boxy. Always great to hear from him. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him this weekend as well.
Oh, is he over?
He's coming over this weekend. Yeah. I don't know what I'm supposed to say on that, but he is coming.
This is the anniversary of him getting all his locks shaved off as well. It was, I think it was this weekend, must have been about like 10 years ago, but it was, do you remember when he had like massive hair and a massive beard and it was all cut off for charity? So that video popped up there recently. Top Lattice Boxer, we always love having him on a view from the bridge. And that's a great, great picture. It's a great picture. Yeah. Though, is the guy working? He's got gloves.
I have no idea. He's not in a pub in Vegas.
Yeah, that's it. Any other business, Davey? Nothing from you? Anything further? Simon?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
That's cool. Then, as I said, the two games this weekend, we're at home to the Stars, 7 p.m. on Saturday at the SSC Arena. Get yourself down there or follow it on Giants TV. And then over to Kirkcaldy against the Flyers, 5:15 on Sunday, Fife Ice Arena, Flyers TV with Laura and Bean. There's only about 7 games in the regular season left. A big thanks to Mark Cooper, big thanks to Tom Coolen and friend of the show, Mark Lefebvre. Big thanks to Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Kitchen and everybody who's been interacting through the show. We really do appreciate it. You can get us at AVFTV on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, on all the usual stuff, kingdomofthegiants.com. Send us an email, podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com. I don't think we've got an email this year.
Phone the rant line. Remember that one, Paddy?
Phone the rant line. Pretty sure Coach did that once. Remember that? And also remember, we're trying to get up to that 1,000. Is it 1,000 Easter eggs we're trying to make? So get on and hopefully.
2-1, as it says.
799. But it's, as I say, it's literally 201 we need for Saturday night. So if you can, it would be very, very much appreciated.
Get yourself down to Crazy Prices, pick up a Stewart's and get yourself an Easter egg and bring it down with you, and we'll get it up to 1,000. And hopefully Mark Cooper maybe will be able to aid that with his points.
What did I say?
I can't remember. I'll rewind it back.
Like 10 Easter eggs per point.
Would you see what he comes up with? Right. And on that note, gentlemen.
Might be mini eggs.
Mini eggs.
Was it this weekend or was it? Is it Saturday night alone?
No, this weekend.
This weekend.
Oh, you said you'd match, you jumped in quick.
I'll jump in there as well. I'd go with that as well. Why not?
For a pound.
Right.
Break a bad news to Marty.
I'll speak to Adam and see if I can get Mark Cooper arrested this weekend.
And on that note, wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Social Podcast Network.